You want to record?
No.
This is feedback for Tom Burbeck, and it is February 24th at the fourth quarter retreat at Sam's house.
All right.
And this is Paul Beckman giving feedback for Farmer Tom. So the thing that strikes me, and the words that came to mind as I'm thinking about this, one is goodness. There are, we know that Jesus says to the rich young ruler, no one is good but God alone. But on the other hand, there are people that I know who just are good people, who appreciate goodness, who live goodness, who in the midst of a sucky world see goodness. And that's what I see in you. And what's connected to it is Jesus' commandment, essentially, that where he says, unless you become as a little child, you will not see the kingdom of God. There's a kind of enthusiasm, there's a joy, there's a kind of effusiveness about your appreciation for things that you see and things that you do and people around you. And, I mean, you know, someone who goes back and forth to Paris 100 times and just enjoys it every time. I mean, frankly, I've been to Paris. I don't like Paris. But, you know, you wouldn't... I mean, you'd probably like Camden, New Jersey if you went there. It's just like some people have that sort of pure heart. There's a purity of heart that is there. And it's really... I think it's a remarkable thing, and it's a great gift. And in a cynical world... It's a tremendous gift because the world is full of cynicism, unbelief, and all that kind of crap. If you were another 6 inches taller, I'd call you Marmaduke. And just,
was that a dog?
Marmaduke was the happy dog, you know?
Yeah.
Big dog,
yeah.
Carefree,
yeah.
Yeah. You know?
You don't, they're Nick,
you don't resemble him a lot.
No, hardly at all. So... The picture that I really, you know, these two pictures, outside, inside, and inside, outside, is someone who's just not afraid of the world. You're not afraid of what's around. You're not afraid of, like, you probably wouldn't have been lying up at night thinking about Soviet missiles, you know? It's just not in your, it's not part of you. You can read Paul Tillich and not be depressed. That's pretty impressive. anyway, so all these things I think really express, in my mind, your glory. The thing that, and I think then what you have to offer, the thing that is your glory that you offer, is this idea of a haven maker, someone who desires to express and help others see goodness, see. I mean, you're a very kind person, I can tell, a very gracious person. And those things, again, drawing, is no surprise that you want to do a farm where the poor will be served, where people who don't have, you know, these are people whose sense of goodness has been violated by poverty, by abuse, by all the kinds of things that society creates that foment. And abet our personal sinfulness. So, I just can imagine your farm being the place where you would invest $10 million and make it, you know, make it a real gift to people. My sense of the assault is, and maybe this is simplistic, is that you probably have the temptation to become very diffuse, distracted. I think the kind of sense of innocence or purity then can sometimes be open to ideas that are superfluous or distracting or maybe not even well-grounded.
Yeah.
But you like ideas, and you're not afraid of them,
yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But sometimes you accept them
right.
A little bit uncritically.
Yeah.
So the other picture that I see, and I'm going to give it a different caption, is this one, and I'm going to call it rootedness instead of balance.
Yeah.
A sense of where I think just, you know, it's interesting that you love farming, but you said you don't like repetition.
Yeah.
And to me, farming is perhaps the most repetitious, or one of the most repetitious acts or jobs or whatever, careers, yeah, whatever, yeah, that you can engage in.
Yeah.
Every morning the sun rises, every year the seasons come, the cows are there, the crops are there. Man, that sounds, yeah, really boring, except you love it, yeah, for a lot of reasons. Okay.
And I'm afraid that I've not gotten into it far enough to know that's there.
But,
you know, and I get that. I agree.
I think that God will lead you. I think God will lead you to embrace those things as beautiful.
Yeah.
And that there's a kind of weight and stature that He wants to give you. Right now, it's lots of fun, lots of ideas, yes, the pure heart. Yes. I think God wants to make you heavy. Make you heavy in a good way, right? Raise you up, give you strength, root you more in that kind of solidity and constancy that can go through the next 20, 30 years of farming boredom, whatever it is. Anyway, that's what I have to say. I'm inspired by your vision, and that's really, really excellent. So.
I tell you the truth, I sort of feel like I'm, you know, odd man out, or I'm in the land of giants, you know. You guys are really good, and I think you particularly specifically are good, you know. And you know, so, you know, what do I say? You know, significant points. Yeah. Well, a love of.
Well, I have seen pornography. Just so.
That, yeah. You're okay. Not,
you are an American man. Yeah. I was gonna say, okay, you haven't. I say, liar. Okay, we got it. Anyway, go.
Okay. So anyway, but you know, okay, you got these themes. You got this love affair with God, which is wonderful. You know, you got a love affair with people. You love the impersonal encounters, you know, that you're engaged. You know, I would agree with the goodness kind of label, but happy too, happy, content. You're at peace. Mm-hmm. You know, you're at peace. You know, I mean, you've got so many things that you're interested in, so many projects going, but you're not driven. I mean, you know how to kind of, you know, write it and to get it done, to synthesize ideas, projects, people, all that kind of stuff, putting all things together, you know, putting creative things together, architecture, all that, without seemingly being anxious about anything, or worrying, or you know, it's just okay, you know, it's just sort of whatever you kind of put your mind to, you figure out a way to make it work. And, you know, and it ends up beautiful, you know, whether it's a social beauty or whether it's physical beauty, you know, you just sort of this, you know, I think you're comfortable in your shoes, you know, that you just know who you are, you're not trying to be something else, you know, and you have lots that you can do that, you're curious. You're an inventor. You know, I'm reminded of Thomas Jefferson. I think you're Jeffersonian. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read a book on Monticello, and you probably have too.
No, I'm not. I'm just generally aware of him, and I thought of him frequently.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Renaissance guy. You know, you're interested in all this philosophy, highfalutin stuff, but also you're interested in, you know, how do you, you know, what kind of a tractor do you need, and what kind of plants work to, you know, to produce good for, you know, produce and all that sort of thing. Now, the pictures that I saw were, okay, who, you know, my place, that sort of social thing, you know, what they have to offer, welcome, I guess, I don't know which one was welcome, but oh, that's up in there, it's sort of that architectural thing on the right, you know, that's, I mean, you just sort of bring people together, you make people comfortable, and you like to put it in a context that sort of makes that helps that.
Yeah.
You know, assault, man, I couldn't figure out anything. You know, it doesn't seem to be anything that you're any chinks in the armor or any kind of points of weakness or woundedness that I, you hadn't mentioned sort of brotherhood except just now, you know, with get together with guys. So I don't know how much you're kind of on your own, but, you know, if that's going well.
Yeah, I worry about that now. It's becoming a concern for me, sort of the friendship thing and making sure I...
Yeah, you know, sort of...
Okay. In my work, I always had friends.
Yeah.
And now that's gone.
And you had a bunch of them, you know, and it wasn't like, you know, I only talked to...
Very old friends.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, growth, well, it's sort of, okay, you got to... It's pretty obvious, but you got the transition, you know, for the retirement and... You know, the house and all that kind of stuff, or not doing the house, not doing a farm, maybe the issue of, you know, really it's just project selection for you. You're always going to do projects. I mean, you're not going to ever stop doing projects. You just have to figure out which projects make the most sense. I think that, you know, not getting too diffuse is good, you know. So, I know that you are doing some intentional evangelistic things, and that's, you know, I think that's great. I think God wants more of that. You know, just sort of don't change course, just stay on course. You know, that's my thinking.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Gary giving you feedback. You know, I was struck when you started talking about you're just. A good man, think of goodness. And I thought, that's really true. Right away, I just kind of lit up. I went, there it is. That's it right there. There is a goodness about you. I mean, God is making us all good men, there's no doubt, but there is a goodness about you. It's particular with you. So I thought about that verse, you know, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. You're a good man, and there's goodness stored up in your heart. I thought about, as a general overall picture of you, if I thought, what do you emit? What do I just think you bring when you walk in a room? I just thought, a kind, generous, caring father. That's what I think of a really good man.
Yeah.
A good older man, right? That's the dad we wanted. That's a good, kind, generous, caring father. I think that just comes from you, comes out of your pores. But specifically, when it comes to the glory of your life, there are two things that stick out to me, and that is, you, especially now that I heard this, you use the word engagement 3 times in one exercise. And I thought, wow, okay, that is just you. That just, you engagement and design, because of your love for architecture. And I was so struck when you said, I read books in architecture, articles about it, journals, and I thought, there's the example of a deep curiosity in your heart. It's never been part of your work, your job, never been paid for it. It's been a fascination. That tells me that's who you are. So to put it, instead of using the word architecture, and it's still a good word, maybe I would say engagement and architecture, or engagement and design. Because even your, everything you say about architecture is about engagement. So it comes back to this word again. You engage people, you engage environments, you engage ideas, you engage, engage, engage. This is who you are. And therefore, I go back to, as we've talked about, that picture, you know, inside, outside. I was struck by the way you talked about it. You know, you create an inside environment, it is safe, but you can connect with the beauty outside, but there's a thin layer of protection. Therefore, the inside is safe, but the outside is accessible. That just was intriguing the way you talked about it. I think that's much about you, the engagement and design brilliance of your life. It's just in you. And therefore, it makes sense why you were a sociology major and why you were going for a master's. And you made some adjustments, but nonetheless, I thought, that's a lot of investment. Makes sense to me completely. Let me just touch on architecture for a minute. Let me just say, your love for architecture... Many things that we love are transcendent. They transcend the immediate. So a person that loves to, you know, organize, and I say, yeah, but I organize files or ideas or whatever. I just go, yeah, but that transcends into organizing other things. Architecture is a trans, transcendent concept in your heart. Yeah. I know you know that. It's obvious, but the architecture, as you said, the design of something. Well, you talked about the design of something, and that's what it was, the Bob Dylan thing. You love to look back at his story and how he ended up writing and doing the music that he did and becoming the man. You were looking for the design and architecture in this.
Yeah.
You know, there may have been a time when he admitted this was God in his life. Maybe he still does. I don't know. I know he waves. He's tossed about by every wind of doctrine, from what I understand. Yeah. But this architecture idea, I love when you said, I love to simplify design, eliminate complexity, and enable interaction. I thought, okay, that's you. That's your heart. You want to eliminate complexity so that you can enable interaction. That's what the design of that house was, inside out. That's what that picture of all those people were together in my place. You talked about the simplicity of people just talking around food, around everything, all different kind of people. I think that's the effect of your life. Eliminate complexity, enable interaction. Now, Assault, very quickly. A couple things that I wrote down out of you telling your story was you said in the very beginning, you said that you were probably the most neglected of the kids because you didn't have any significant problems. You were well. And I get that. I've seen that in families again and again and again. Sometimes it's not physical, but it's mental illness, and therefore the one who's doing well is the most neglected.
Yeah.
And so my thought is, I wonder if it is hard for you to express, just to be open with close friends of your neediness,
yeah.
What you need, your struggles. I just need to talk to somebody right now. I have not heard any of your neediness, but we've not necessarily been in an environment to talk about. That wasn't the question we were answering.
Yeah.
But I just think that could be
yeah.
a place of vulnerability in your
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
Because you've been taught that.
I agree, and it resonates.
Okay.
So that's resonating, and it also comes back to the friend thing. I'm not real driven to have friends.
Mm-hmm.
Just to hang out with. The sort of friends that then I could talk with about this.
Right, right. Yep. You said at one point in your story, I didn't know that my sisters were sick. And I could see how that got you. You talked about that, and I just wondered, does that create a fear of what don't I see right now? What am I not understanding that's going on here? Because that hurts my heart as I think about to know that. You know, we talked about this idea. You said you love, well, recently, just in a last thing, you said, I love simplicity and I hate complexity. That was on your love list and hate list. And I thought, the danger is that could cause you to pull away from complexity, complex situations, hard situations. And the reason I worry about that, if that could be true, is that you are needed in those. Because what you do is you eliminate complexity and bring simplicity to engage.
Yeah.
Your presence just does that. So, to wrap this up, I would say one of the concerns I have for you is spending too much time on your farm. That it could be all-consuming because there are people that need you desperately. Now, I know, I think I have somewhat of an understanding of the time and the love you pour into your son. And you pour into this man you're helping, you pour all sorts of resources in him. Absolutely. There are a lot of people that need you out there, and I would hate for the elements of your farm that you love and your heart's pulled to pull you away from these other places. Stuff. Yes. Yep. That would be my concern for you.
Yeah. I have the same concern.
Okay. Yep. So just in the matter of growth, to wrap this up now, you know, you talked about how hard it's been to, since you retired, you know, you're living outside the environment, the boundaries of work where you have role, expectations, people all around you who need you, a team, a task, it's all gone.
Your friends.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you go to work with friends, you know, I mean, and you've made them those things. And so the idea is to say to you, Tom, there is a great work of your life. It's not over. It's actually getting more focused now. And so you're going to have to recreate these teammates, these deep friends, this understanding of it. I do have a task every day. I know what it is. And you could be pulled by what is most visible and immediate, which is the farm.
Yeah.
And there's so many elements of your heart in that. So just don't let that pull you out. Concentrate on the great work of your life, which I believe the two major elements of the great work of your life are engagement and eliminating complexity and enabling interaction. Your words from your heart, I believe, and from the heart of God.
Yeah.
Good?
Yes.